So the title of this sermon is about saying how saying no reveals a deeper yes. So that would make it a sermon about saying no. But as I was thinking about what I wanted to write, I realized I just kept wanting to write about saying yes. About wholehearted yeses, exciting yeses, big possibility yeses, enlivening, eye-opening, exciting, fun, like that song we just heard. And like in this story from the Moth Radio Hour about a young Mormon woman, Elna Baker, living in New York City. Now, as a Mormon, you can't drink, you can't do drugs, and you can't have sex before marriage. And she lives in New York City, home of shows like Sex and the City. And in order to avoid the impression that all her religiously based no's make her uninteresting, Elna decided that she would say yes to just about everything else. Which she did, like at career fairs, where she learned the power of saying yes. She discovered that although they do not set up booths for drama students, which she was, they do for business students. Booth after booth of companies, all with trinkets and gadgets and gizmos to give away. Elna discovered that if she said yes to all the questions they asked, she would get the best presents. Are you a business school student? Yes. Are you interested in a job at Morgan Stanley Dean Whittier? Yes. If I answered yes enough, she said, I would get like a cool triangle highlighter with three different colors. Although technically that's lying and Mormons aren't supposed to lie, she continues, I figure I do everything else right, so I can do that, sort of. She relays another time she was walking past a building on campus when someone asked her if she was looking for the paper convention. Why? Yes. There she found all these booths. She said yes to everything, and she left, as she said, with a bag full of amazing stationery. All of which led up to what she called the mother of all conventions. She had friends staying downtown at the Marriott, and they were having breakfast when she glanced under the table and she saw a name badge for the local 7-Eleven convention. And she said, yes. She put the badge on, goes down to the banquet hall, and there they are, celebrating 75 years of 7-Eleven. So she says, I start mingling with people and making friends, taking free samples, and I end up meeting the woman who's running the convention. And she starts getting my feedback, and I say, I go to conventions all the time, and this is so well organized. And she said, did you need tickets for today's events? And I was like, yes. 4 tickets for Madame Tussauds, 4 tickets for the bus tour, 4 tickets for Radio City Music Hall. And then she said, will I be seeing you at tonight's cruise? And I was like, yes. But they never mailed me anything back. And the woman was like, what? So she ran off and came back with 4 tickets, $150 each, for a dinner cruise around Manhattan. So that night, Elna and her 3 friends got all dressed up, and there they were on the boat, 500 7-Eleven employees and the 4 of them. They were mingling and dancing and karaoke singing, and then there was that 4-course meal, and at the end of dinner, one of her friends turns to Elna and says, I dare you to make a toast. Now, she'd never actually made a toast because she doesn't drink, but she'd seen this in the movies. So she takes out her knife and dings her glass, ding, 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 and everyone gets silent. I'd like to make a toast to 7-Eleven for redefining convenience. And the room explodes in applause. The thing I love so much about saying yes, Elna concludes, is that where you start at the beginning of the day and where you end up can be two totally different places based on all the things you say yes to. So there you go. Saying yes, great stuff, right? It helps if you interpret honesty very loosely. But saying yes is a practice that can be exciting, certainly, adventurous for sure. Her story inspired me. And then there's the TED Talk about the woman who, for 100 days, challenged every fear she had. She went skydiving, held a giant tarantula, dyed her hair bright blue, gave free hugs, jumped off a cliff, rode a massive roller coaster, danced by herself in a public square. All her fears, one fear a day, one day at a time for 100 days. And then this month in the theme materials, we have Jia Zhang, who did his own saying yes to possibility, coming up with 100 fantastical ideas to reach out to people and ask them for such ridiculous things that his requests would surely be rejected. He said yes to facing his fear of rejection, and in doing so, he was saying yes to all these interesting interactions he would never have explored otherwise. For example, asking a stranger to lend him $100. The man said no. Knocking on someone's door to ask if he could plant a flower in their backyard. The person said no, but said, maybe you want to try my next door neighbor, who said yes. He asked for a burger refill at his local fast food joint, also a no. Interesting, crazy, wacky, highly rejectable ideas, but all about saying yes to facing fear and opening up possibilities in the world. And I wonder, is there a yes that's been calling you? Maybe you, too, want to commit to 100 yeses in 100 days, or maybe there are one or two specific yeses that have been hanging around the back of your mind saying, come on, you, try me. Or maybe you, like me, just want to try being a little more yes-oriented for a while. Like, next time someone asks you to go to the art museum to go with them, you say yes. Or to the gym, yes. Or for a walk, or to the next Westminster social event, yes, of course, yes. See what happens and where you end up. Whether that's on a plane doing your first parachute jump, at a State House protest event carrying a big, bold sign, or at the next Westminster game-playing night, playing your first round of Quirkle, see where you end up. So that's saying yes. But then I couldn't help but notice, much as there are all these people on the internet intentionally saying yes, it seems like there are just about as many intentionally suggesting we say no. Like in the 14-day Say No Challenge, or the My 30 Days of Saying No article, or even the Ultimate Guide to Saying No, which includes a script. Because so many of us say yes not to challenge ourselves, but to avoid disappointing the asker, or because we feel guilty or obligated or all of the above. And as hard as saying no to others can be, sometimes the hardest no is the one we have to say to ourselves. When we are a little too attached to our phones or our alcohol or our late night Netflix, or when we've overscheduled ourselves because we're stuck in fear of missing out or experience greed, or simply from a desire to run from something we don't want to face. And so I wonder, is there a no you need to say? Is there a new no habit that would be good for you to form? You know, one powerful no habit I've discovered that I nevertheless resist every morning is meditation. A time to sit still and let go of everything, at least for a while. I find I do not want to sit still for 15 minutes. I have too much to do. It's important, and I need to get it done right away or bad things will happen. So sitting still and saying no for a little while means facing those fears or facing boredom, which may be worse. But I have noticed those 15 minutes almost inevitably help me clarify what my real priorities are. That relatively brief time of discomfort helps reveal what's truly important to me. So saying yes, saying no, saying yes can stretch us into new, interesting life territory. Saying yes can open doors. Saying no can release us from over-attachments or addictive patterns that can overtake our lives. Saying no can reveal open doors that were always there, but which we couldn't see. But like so many things that are good for us, neither practice is easy. There's a reason there are all these articles and stories and TED Talks out there encouraging us. Because saying yes, exciting as it can also be stomach tightening, heat generating, and heart rate raising. And saying no can make us antsy or irritable or can feel like withdrawal pains. It's hard. Even if a moment ago you thought of a yes or a no you'd like to try, the reptile part of our human brain will often convince us by the time we get home that we really didn't want to do it anyway, or we are too busy, or maybe we just forget. So we need support and encouragement to strive for our biggest lives. We need each other. We need people to walk with us or hold us accountable or just cheer us on. In fact, I have an idea. In the spirit of saying yes to things that stretch us, I'm going to stretch myself by asking you to try something a little different this morning. In fact, just thinking about doing something different like this was raising my heart rate yesterday. So I know I'm on the right track. And if the words "I'm going to ask you to try something" are making your heart rate rise, I think you may be on the right track too. So I'm going to come down for this part of the sermon, because after all, we are all in this together, this doing something different stretch thing, this facing fear thing, the saying yes to new things thing. We all grow together. So here's my idea. I'm going to invite us to do something that can help humans fulfill our intentions, which is to share your commitment with another person. Now, you may not want to share your deepest, most vulnerable yes or no with the stranger or family member sitting next to you, so we're going to do it a different way. Here are three options. One, you can say the actual thing, like, "I'm going to reach out to my estranged brother," or "I'm going to meditate 3 times this week." Or you could just say the first letter of the thing you'd like to do, like, "I'm going to say yes to something that starts with the letter B." Or you can just do the I thing. You can look someone in the eye while you think about what you're going to do, and they receive it. So kind of one of these. But you don't have to do this. You don't have to do the hand thing. You can just look someone in the eye and nod or smile. Or you can do the hand. You're creative. You can do what feels right. So the cool thing about the reptile brain is that it's not actually smart enough to know that you haven't just told the whole world about your great idea. All it knows is that someone just looked you right in the eye while you talked about what you'd like to do, and they cheered you on. So I encourage you to share with someone you don't know so well if you can, but to keep it practical, someone who's near you. I love the nervous laughter. That really tells me we're in a good place here. Once you've shared what you want to do with someone, I encourage you to be available to receive from two or three other people so that everyone has an opportunity to share with someone. So here we go. Take a moment to share a yes or a no with someone near you. All right. I guess that wasn't too hard. If it's that hard to call you back, feel free to continue your conversations at coffee hour. Y'all got over your hesitation quite quickly. That's good. All right. So I want to end with a story. That it's almost like the woman who tells it read my sermon and said, I have the perfect story to illustrate what you're trying to say. She didn't, because she did hers before I wrote mine. But her name is Shonda Rhimes, and she said yes. For 1 year, she said yes to all the things that scared her. Did I want to speak in public, she asked herself. No, but yes. Did I want to be on live TV? No, but yes. Did I want to try acting? She asked herself. No, 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 but yes, yes, yes. And all those yeses, they undid the fear, she said. Her fear of public speaking, gone. Her social anxiety, gone. The power of yes changed her. But there was one particularly big yes that came after one particularly big no that changed her more than any other. It's a story of change that begins with her work. Shonda has what she calls her dream job. She's a writer, and not just any writer. She's a TV writer, a highly successful writer for 4 TV shows, 16 episodes going on at all times, like Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, The Catch, showing back-to-back on Thursdays in the U.S. and in 250 territories in 67 languages around the world. So her dream job, it's not just a dream. It's work. It's a lot of work. Who could do that much work? Shonda jokingly calls herself a titan. But when I'm at work, she says, there's nothing like it. It's exhilarating and hilarious, disturbing and clinical, maternal and cruel and judicious, and what makes it all so good is the hum. When the work gets good, she says, a hum begins in my brain, and it grows and grows, and the hum sounds like the open road, and I could drive it forever. And when you have a hum like that, you can't help but strive for greatness at any cost. That's called the hum, she said. Or maybe it's called being a workaholic. Or maybe it's called genius. Maybe it's just fear of failure. I don't know, she says. I just know that I love the hum. I need that hum. I am that hum. Am I nothing but that hum? And then, one day, the hum stopped. Life said no. A big no. Overworked, overused, overdone, burned out, the hum stopped. I was doing the same things I always did, she said, all the same Titan work, 15 hours a day, straight through the weekends, but there was no hum. Inside me was silence. The work began to taste like dust. That's when my toddler asked me this question. She said, I'm on my way out the door, I'm late, and my three-year-old says, Mama, want to play? Shonda is about to say no when she realizes two things. One, she's supposed to say yes to everything. And two, the way her daughter asked was different this time. She used different words, and she's changing right before my eyes, Shonda said, and I've been missing it. So when my daughter says, Mama, want to play? I say yes. There's nothing special about it. We play. We're joined by her sisters, and there's a lot of laughing. I offer a dramatic reading from the book Everybody Poops, and nothing's out of the ordinary. Yet it is extraordinary, because in my pain and in my humblessness, I have nothing to do but pay attention. I am still. Play is the opposite of work, she says. Something in me loosens, and it's not instantaneous, but it happens. I feel it. A hum creeps back in. Not the hum, but a hum. And now I feel like I know a very magical secret, she says. Well, let's not get carried away. It's just love. That's all it is. The work hum, that's a replacement for it. But this hum is not work specific. This hum is joy specific. It's the electricity that comes from simply being excited by life. It's just love. I wish it were easy, she says, but I'm not good at playing. I don't actually like it. I'm not interested in doing it the way I'm interested in doing work. I itch for my cell phone always. But it's okay. My tiny humans show me how to live, and the hum of the universe fills me up. And while my kids are my happy place, she says, it doesn't have to be kids that feed your hum, the place where life feels more good than not good. It's not necessarily about playing with kids. It's about joy. It's about playing in general. It's about finding your deeper hum in life, becoming your truer you. We say yes in life. We say no in life. And sometimes life says no for us. The yeses can stretch us. The nos can open us to something deeper. Something that maybe was there the whole time, but that we couldn't see or were too distracted or busy to see. In our lives, may we experiment with heart and life expanding yeses and nos. In our workplaces, in our homes, wherever we are, may we recognize that nos might reveal something we need to see. May we hear the call, the larger call knocking. May we follow the deeper hum, and may we sing to the universe who we really are.